First Thessalonians. Let's go back to First Thessalonians. Your Bible should be opening up there automatically now on Sunday mornings. I don't know how it is with my Bible. It seems like when we're in a series, my Bible always seems to open up. The Bible sort of has a memory, and it always seems to open up to those passages of Scripture. When we were in Joel, it would always open up to the Old Testament. Now that we're in 1 Thessalonians, it always opens up to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go through two more verses today in the first chapter of Thessalonians. I'm going to read the whole first chapter. We're going to go through verses 6, 7, and 8 today. And then we'll finish the first chapter next Sunday with verses 9 and 10. Remember, Paul, Paul, Timothy, and Silas have established this church. And there, Paul is writing a letter back to the church. After he has gotten word from Timothy, he was so anxious about the progress of their faith that he had sent Timothy back to that church, even though they headed forward. And he comes back with a great report, and he is thankful to God. You know, his heart is welling up with praise, and he's thankful to God for a couple things here in the first chapter. We've already studied their Christ-like character in verses 1, 2, and 3. Their faith that was working, their love that was laboring, and their hope that had remained steadfast. We also see not only their Christ-like character, but we see in verses 4 and 5 their God-ordained calling. And so he was thanking the Lord that these brothers and sisters in Christ in Thessalonica were called by God. And last week we talked about how God not only calls his children, but he also establishes the means whereby they are called. And the means whereby they are called is the powerful word of God, the powerful word of God that is preached by God's messengers. And today in verses 6, 7, and 8, we will see that he is thankful to God for the Holy Spirit's changing their life. And so let me read you the whole chapter. Follow along with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God and our Father your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in the word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And then our passage this morning. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who will deliver us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your holy and righteous and living word, your powerful, infallible, and sufficient word. And Lord, as we humble ourselves before your word this morning, may your Holy Spirit take these words, your words, and impress them on our hearts, Lord, so that we leave here this morning a little bit more like Jesus Christ. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Starting with verse 6, please. It says, and you. Who's this you that Paul, Timothy, and Silas are talking about? We see that in verse 1. It's the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father. We see this in verse 2 and 3. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. We see this in verse 4. They are loved by God. They have been chosen. They are called out. The church has been called out by God. They became, verse 6, it says, And you became, that's the idea. Last week I talked a little bit about it. This is God doing. This is supernatural. This is birth in the heart of God. They became, it says in verse 6, imitators. The Greek word mimetes. Mimetes. You can probably, maybe if you saw it written and not heard, we get our English word mimic. Mimic. This is the third generation of believers. We have Jesus Christ being the first, Paul, Timothy, and Silas being the second, and this group, these brothers and sisters, this church in Thessalonica, are mimickers. Third generation, people following in the footsteps of, of those who came before. Who? Who are they following? Who are they mimicking? Look at the text. What does it say? They became supernaturally possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. They became mimickers of whom? Who does it say in verse 6? They became imitators of who? Yeah, that's one, but before the Lord is what? Us. Who's us? Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They are mimicking Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul, many, many times, Paul is in 1 Corinthians. When he writes this book to Thessalonica. And as he writes back to the church at as he writes back to the church of Corinth after he leaves Corinth, he probably has in his mind what impressed him most about the Thessalonian church, that they were imitators of him. And so that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says this to that church, probably remembering the example he saw in Thessalonica as he was there in Corinth, thinking, why doesn't this church in Corinth do what the church in Thessalonica did? He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Isn't that what he's saying here to the Thessalonian church? You have been my imitators. You have been Christ's imitators. And so he's urging the church there in Corinth after the fact to be like those Thessalonians. Ephesians 5, chapter 1, Paul says this to the Ephesian church also. Therefore, be imitators of God, my beloved children. We have to model our life after somebody. And he's saying, God and me. And not only was this church mimicking or imitating or walking in the footsteps of Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they were also walking, imitating, mimicking the life of Jesus Christ. John, the beloved disciple, the one on whom Jesus rested his head, the bosom of which Jesus rested his head, this is what John says to his readers in 1 John chapter 2. He says, and by this we know that we have come to know Jesus if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but he does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And that's what Paul is saying to these Thessalonian believers. You are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Your life mimics the life of Jesus Christ. This conveys to us that there's a relationship there between the Thessalonians and Paul, but there's a relationship there between the Thessalonians and Jesus Christ. It's an intimate relationship. Paul, later on in 1 Thessalonians, he says, I was like your father, or I was like your mother there when I was with you. How many of you have seen this or experienced this, where in an intimate familiar relationship, your kids often become just like you? Little kids like to dress up on their mom, don't they? Put their shoes on and they, Mommy, I'm just like you. And kids will say the dad the same thing about our dad sometimes. You know, the things that we don't like about our dad, sometimes what? We end up being just like our dads, don't we? That intimacy of relationship. There's one thing that my dad used to do. It used to drive me crazy. He used to do this. I think I shared this maybe once before with him. He used to always do this on his head, like, oh, yeah. And guess what Pastor Ken does now sometimes. Oh, and I say, oh, Dad, why did you do that? God is changing these believers by the power of the Holy Spirit into the image of Jesus Christ. These believers have been baptized as brothers and sisters, and they are now part of a new family. They have God, their Heavenly Father, as their Father, and they're imitating Him. Well, how specifically are they imitating Jesus Christ? How specifically are they imitating Paul, Timothy, and Silas? Do they have some of Paul, Timothy, and Silas's habits? You know, maybe Paul did this too, and now everybody in that church does this, or maybe they walk the same way Paul, Timothy, and Silas had, or maybe they have the same type of haircut, or maybe they have the same type of glasses, or they talk in the same way. I don't know if you've been to churches, but oftentimes churches take on a little bit of their pastor's personality and the way he dresses and stuff, and you see that a lot nowadays, you know. Everybody seems to want to dress just like their pastor. Is that what he's talking about here? That they look like him, they talk like him? Is that what he's talking about here? How they imitated? No. That's not what the text says. They might have done that, but that's not what Paul highlights here in the text. How is it that they're mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ? How is it that they're imitating Paul, Timothy, and Silas? Well, it says to us, doesn't it? In verse 6, it says, you receive the word in much affliction. It says you receive. The idea there, the word received, is to welcome or to take in hand or to accept. They accepted the word gladly. They weren't complaining. They weren't in resignation, like, okay, this is just the way it has to be. But they gladly welcomed the word. How? What does the text tell us? How did they welcome the word? How did they receive it? Gladly. With what? Much affliction. And as Paul was speaking to them the word of God, remember how he spoke the word of God? The only word of God that they had in their hand at that time was what? They didn't have the New Testament scripture. They had what did they have? The Old Testament scripture, right? They had all the Old Testament scripture. Then Paul would unpack the Old Testament scripture, and he would say how these scriptures were speaking of Jesus Christ. And so they received that Old Testament scripture. Man, much affliction. What does that mean? That their countrymen, their own countrymen, their own Thessalonians, were persecuting them. Remember how the church began? Paul, Timothy, and Silas get there. They go into the synagogues. Some converts, the Jews, become jealous. They go to Jason's house to find Paul, Timothy, and Silas, take them out to the crowd because they want to beat them or kill them or something. Paul, Timothy, and Silas aren't there, but who is there? Jason and some of the Christian brothers. And so they, instead of taking Paul, Timothy, and Silas out, they take them out. And they start what? Persecuting them. They take them before the authorities. And they take money for them, like a security, like a pledge. You get these guys out of town, or this money stays with us. Turn over just a few pages in 1 Thessalonians. Maybe you don't have to turn over at all. Maybe it's on the same page. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. This is what Paul says. This is how he describes the much affliction. Verse 14 of chapter 2. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind. The type of persecution they were getting in Thessalonica is the same type of persecution that the church was getting in Jerusalem, the same type of persecution that Jesus received. Perhaps some of them were beating. Paul had left time, but they had stayed there, and those Jews were still angry, so angry that they followed Paul to Berea. But after Paul left Berea, they went back to Thessalonica, and they're going to take out their anger and the jealousy on these new believers. And so they receive the word in affliction, and so they are mimicking Paul, Timothy, and Silas, and the Lord Jesus Christ by the persecution. Remember Jesus Christ himself said this about his disciples, if they hate me, they will hate you as well. And how in Mark we saw over and over that Jesus predicted his own suffering at the hands of his countrymen. And the Thessalonians are experiencing that same type of suffering. But not only have they received joyfully, they've welcomed that persecution. They've welcomed that affliction because they see it from the hand of God as if God has given them a gift. Affliction, persecution, and they welcome it. They receive it gladly because they know it's from God externally. My body is being persecuted. But not only is something happening to them externally and they receive it gratefully from the hand of God, but something else is happening in them. What else? How else are they mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ? How else are they mimicking Paul, Timothy, and Silas? The text tells us in verse 6. They received the Lord with much affliction, but what else are they? How else are they receiving the Lord, this word from God? What does the text tell us in verse 6? Yeah, with joy of the Holy Spirit. So something is happening externally, but something also is happening internally. Remember what had happened in Philippi? Just the city before they went to Thessalonica. Remember what happened in Philippi? Philippi, they cast out this demon from this little girl who was making all kinds of money for her masters. And so the masters get jealous. They take him before the authorities and accuse him falsely of all types of different things. And Paul and Silas are beaten. Beaten. And they go to jail. And they're in stocks, their hands and their feet are in stock, and it's the middle of the night, and what are Paul and Silas doing? Singing with joy in their hearts. And so the Thessalonians are doing the same thing. They're singing. There's joy of the Holy Spirit, something, once again, supernaturally produced in them by the Holy Spirit of God. Later on, Paul writes to the Philippian church in chapter 4 of Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. And where is Paul when he's writing this church? He's in prison. In the midst of circumstances, there is joy in his heart that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Hebrews chapter 2, when Jesus is on the cross there, bleeding, suffering, the wrath of God for your sins and mine. Look what the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus, his attitude. Although physically he was receiving blows from the hand of God, he realized that he welcomed them. Something was going on inside of his heart. Hebrews 12, verse 2, this is what the Bible says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so these new believers, Thessalonians, are mimicking not only Jesus and Paul, and they're mimicking them not only externally through the providential experience of persecution, but internally they are exhibiting the supernatural joy of the Holy Spirit of God. They did not allow what happened to them on the outside affect that what Christ had done on the inside. Why? Because they are thankful for God, thankful to God for him sending the persecutions their way. They're not complaining. They're not murmuring. They're not arguing. They're not bickering with each other. They are giving thanks to God. Now think about it, church. Our trials are different from that Thessalonian church. We don't have people beating on our front door, taking us out and whipping us and beating us and taking us to prison for what we have done in Christ Jesus. Do you know of that happening in the United States of America? No, it doesn't happen here. Does it happen around the world? Yes. There are some of our fellow brothers and sisters around the world who are experiencing the same types of trials, same types of persecution that Paul, Timothy, and Silas and the Lord Jesus Christ experienced while they were here on earth. Our trials, our tests, our tribulations are different, aren't they? What are some of our trials and our tests and our tribulations? Well, Anna's in the hospital, isn't she? She's sick. She's had cancer. Some of you have had cancer. You're battling, you're struggling with sickness. Some of you, it's a pain, a constant pain that you feel in your body. Some of it's a broken relationship. Some of it's a wayward child or a wayward grandchild. Sometimes it's a toxic work environment. You just can't get along with your fellow employees. Whatever it is, depression, anxiety, pain, our trials are just as real as those trials those folks experienced many, many years ago. But do we accept our trials as coming from the providential hand of God? Do we see them as a gift from God, sent our way to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we act in a way that mimics Jesus Christ, our Savior? Can we, even in the midst of our terrible trials and tribulations, give joy to the Lord? Can we? You bet you can. Paul says this to the church there in Philippians, and I already read the first verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatever is true, what is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any virtue, any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Life can be overwhelming, but we do not need to be overwhelmed. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says this to that church in Corinth many, many years later. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, yes, but not destroyed. Life can be overwhelming, but we do not have to be overwhelmed. Now, maybe you're going through something right now in your life. I don't know what it is. I know some of the things that your guys are going through, and maybe you need to help, have somebody help you process all this. But God sends trials and tribulations our way. They are His gift to produce in us the life of Jesus Christ. James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. You say, how in the world can I be joyful in the midst of, how can I receive these hard times as a gift from God? Welcome into my life. Don't do this alone. Talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to one of the deacons. Talk to somebody that you know that's going to take you to the Word of God, not just give their own 2 cents worth. But back to the text. 1 Thessalonians, go back there with me. And so Paul is expressing once again his thankfulness to God for these Thessalonians because they have remained faithful. They are, Paul, Timothy, and Silas, are confident they are God's elect children, and they thank God for that because they are mimicking not only them, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as the church reads this letter from Paul, the church is encouraged. Wow, our spiritual daddy is exhorting us or commending us for mimicking him. But not only are they encouraged as they read this letter, something else is happening in their lives. And the text tells us,